Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading, the 28th chapter of the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 28, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate and an ephod, and a robe and a broidered coat, a mitre and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. And they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, and of purple, of scarlet, and fine twined linen, with cunning work. It shall have the two shoulder pieces thereof joined at the two edges thereof, and so shall it be joined together. And the curious girdle of the ephod, which is upon it, shall be of the same, according to the work thereof, even of gold, of blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. And thou shalt take two onyx stones, and grave on them the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on one stone, and the other six names of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. And thou shalt make ouches of gold, and two chains of pure gold at the ends of wreathen work shalt thou make them, and fasten the wreathen chains to the ouches. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen shalt thou make it. Four square shall it be, being doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set in it settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardius, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. And the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12 stones according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work of pure gold. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate two rings of gold, and shalt put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And thou shalt put the two wreathen chains of gold in the two rings which are on the ends of the breastplate. And the other two ends of the two wreathen chains thou shalt fasten in the two ouches, and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And thou shalt make two rings of gold, and thou shalt put them on the two ends of the breastplate in the border thereof, which is in the side of the ephod inward. And two other rings of gold thou shalt make, and shalt put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, toward the forepart thereof, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof unto the rings of the ephod, with a lace of blue, that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loosed from the ephod. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment, the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue. And there shall be an hole in the top of it. In the midst thereof it shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of an habergeon, that it be not rent. And beneath upon it, upon the hem of it, thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. A gold bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, and grave upon it, like unto the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. And for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles and bonnets, shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, I'm at an advantage here because we have recently preached through these articles of clothing and the symbols that they represent, so we don't need to take a lot of time, but we will indeed hit the high points. And so in the first section, and I have that as verses 1 through 5, we set apart the office and not the man. Aaron is not a super saint. He's a regular guy. In just three chapters, we will see him doing something that is abhorrent unto the Lord. Aaron is a sinner. He is not a sinless person that is elevated to this office for anything in him. He is elevated to this office only as a type and a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is indeed the great high priest. So let us remember that that particular principle adheres to this day, that the officers of the church are not particularly the super saints of the church. They are invested with an office not because they are better than everyone else. That's not how it works. So we elevate the office and not the man. This is why we have the robe. It's why we have the collar. It's elevating the office and not the man. All right, so then he is appointed and not elected to it. This speaks of the prophetic character of his office as seen in Christ Jesus. Christ was not elected to his office in that sense. Christ is indeed, he is appointed by his Father. And then we ought further to see that this attire was suited to a church under age. That is, a church surrounded by and used to a gaudy sort of ceremony. The ceremonies of Egypt were such, and the ceremonies of the people around them were also, although not to the same extent. And it is as when we have these eye-catching toys and colors and beeps for our young children. This is what our confession means when it talks about a church under age. And frankly, brothers and sisters, we're not to have those things today. Our worship, our understanding, our place in redemptive history represents an advancement to the Old Testament ways and means of doing things. And I would also say that this relates not only to the worship structures, but also to the civil structures. That there is indeed an advancement that we ought to understand. Not in the moral law itself, that is as timeless as God himself in those foundational and summary statements. But those applications, well, they move. They change, especially with the coming of Christ. And so, frankly, those churches that are wont to go back to a kind of gaudy ceremony with gold and silver and all of that, they are hearkening back to an age of the church's infancy rather than the age of the church's maturity to which they belong. That's the point. All right, so we have then this this description of several things. First of all, notice that overall, the overarching description is that these garments are for glory and beauty. For glory and beauty. We think of the beauty of holiness and the glory of a king. Remember when we studied these, we saw that they are regal in nature. This is a regal set of garments that was given to Aaron, because as a type of Christ, as the high priest, he ruled essentially as a king in the church under Christ. So then we look in verses 6 through 14, we look at the ephod. The ephod was this kind of apron, the front back apron, open on the sides, with a hole in the top of it for the head. And attached to the ephod, we had several other things. This breastplate of judgment, the rings, the ouches, and all of those things. And they all had a great symbolic import, right? And so the ouches that are on top of the ephod had these two stones that had the names of the children of Israel, very obviously telling us that when Aaron entered into the most holy place, he came bearing the sins of the people upon his shoulders. He bore them as a burden. They were larger than the precious stones that were in the breastplate. The breastplate had something completely different to teach. What the ouches taught us, and those two large stones that had six names on one and six names on the other, was that Aaron bore their sins before God. He came in carrying a burden upon his shoulders. And he came also as that governor over his people, right? Because the government is on the shoulders of the priest. And so it was in his government over them that they had sinned. And yet in his government over them, he makes atonement for them. Secondly, we saw this breastplate of judgment, it's called. The breastplate of judgment. Now, don't think of the breastplate of judgment. Don't think of the word judgment as, you know, condemnation. Don't think of it in a legal sense. Think of it in the Lord granting righteous judgments to his people, leading them, in other words, guiding them, preparing them, commanding them, and so on. Those kinds of judgments, like we have as one of the synonyms for the law: statutes, judgments, testimonies, and so on. That kind of judgment. And so notice that while he bore their sin upon his shoulders, he bears their beauty upon his heart. Right? They are precious stones upon his heart. They are rocks upon his shoulders. And there is a contrast there that we're supposed to see. And so he bears them upon his heart, and also his judgment of them is upon his heart. In other words, he is affectionate toward them even in his commanding them. That's the point we ought to understand. So his judgments are kind. They are gracious. They come from his heart. They come from his, from the seat of his knowledge and affection and his love toward his people. And so while Aaron bears these things in symbol form, we understand and ought to be greatly comforted by the knowledge that our Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, bears our sin upon his shoulders and bears us as precious stones upon his heart and judges us, leads us, guides us with great and lovely commands and statutes and judgments from his heart. That's the point. So we have this, these rings and the attachments, and remember that this this ephod is all of one piece, and the breastplate of judgment is attached to it, that it should never be separated from the ephod, and that teaches us that Christ's bearing of our sins and kindly leading us are always together. They're always there together. We need not think of them separately, but that they are always there brought together in his great high priesthood. All right, so then in the next section, we have the appendages to the robe and the ephod. We have the pomegranates and the bells. Pomegranates, bells, one after the other. And notice that they are all ornate. They're blue and they're red and they're purple, these pomegranates. Pomegranates to the ancient Near East were a great and lovely delicacy. They smelled good. They tasted good. They looked good. They were bright red in the middle of a desert land. And so they had all of these wonderful things for the senses. And to a church underage, putting a little needlework representation of a pomegranate on the bottom of Aaron's robe represented its pleasantness. And the gold bells, the sound, the gold and tinkling bells, not like the normal sounds that you would hear, but a sound that had a pleasing, a pleasant quality. And so the ministry of Christ, which is foreshadowed in Aaron as he goes in and comes out, the only time in the year that he ever wore all of all of those trappings, all of those accoutrements, was when he went in on the Day of Atonement, so that the children of Israel might know, might have this pleasant sound. Although they could not see him, they would have the pleasant sound of his ministry. And they would remember the pomegranates, the pleasant smell, the pleasant surroundings, the pleasant sensations, if you will, of his ministry. And so while we cannot see the Lord Jesus Christ passing into heaven and being seated on the right hand of God and entering into the holy place once for all with his own blood to offer there for eternal redemption, we can know of its pleasantness. We can know how pleasant it is to have a high priest such as that. All right, so then in the final section, we have the mitre upon Aaron's forehead. And there's something that is very clearly said, and that is that this mitre will be upon Aaron's forehead when he goes in, so that the people of God will be accepted. And so in the symbology of the mitre, remember, the mitre was like a turban, and there was this plate on the front of it, and it said, "Holiness unto the Lord." Holiness unto the Lord. And that was to represent the people of God, whereas one time the people of God were viewed by God as having the curse that had risen up in their forehead through the sweat of their brow. Upon that same forehead now, we see holiness to the Lord as Aaron represents the people of God in their great high priest. And so the Lord tells him, wear that so that the people of God will be accepted. They must be holy to appear before the Lord. And if they appear in the person of Aaron, then they must appear in that holiness. All right, and then verses 40 through the end, we find that Aaron was not alone in those particular garments, and that they reach not only from the outside, but to the inmost garment as well. Aaron was to be clothed inside and out with those garments of holiness, with those garments of beauty, with those garments of glory, so that inside and out we would know that our great high priest is indeed holy, glorious, and beautiful. There's a lot more to be said, 6 or 7 sermons worth, but let's stand and continue praising.